ABC Radio Australia.
Earlier this week, Papua New Guinea's Prime Minister James Marape announced that the death penalty will be removed from the country's laws. And while it's been welcomed as a step in the right direction, human rights activists say there's plenty of work left for PNG to do to protect its people. And according to a latest report from Human Rights Watch, women in PNG continue to suffer from high rates of gender-based violence, with those accused of sorcery often subject to atrocities. The report, which was released overnight, is urging the PNG government to step up its human rights protection and to follow through on its promises, including the protection of asylum seekers. Elaine Pearson is the director of Human Rights Watch Australia and joins us now on the line from Sydney. Good morning, Elaine.
Good morning.
Now, Elaine, Prime Minister James Marape, let's go to that news first, because he said that he's planning to throw out the death penalty, saying that PNG is a Christian nation and the death penalty doesn't really adhere with the Bible's commandment of thou shalt not kill. Is that something that you welcome and see as something that could benefit the people of PNG, despite there, you know, not being an execution for a good 50 years?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Human Rights Watch has been campaigning for an abolition to the death penalty all around the world, but particularly in PNG. This was a matter that was raised by, I think, 15 governments in November when Papua New Guinea had its Universal Periodic Review in Geneva. This is the process whereby each country has its human rights record reviewed, and many governments raised their concerns. And back then in November, there was actually a bit of defensiveness from the Papua New Guinea government about retaining the death penalty, even though no one has actually been executed, as you said, in the last 50 years. So this is actually quite, you know, a swift turnaround. And I mean, we're waiting to see it, you know, eventuate and it happen. But, you know, certainly this is a very welcome development.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, let's talk about your report from Human Rights Watch. Last year, PNG was described as one of the most dangerous places in the world to be a woman and a girl, which is a startling revelation in itself. How has the situation for women and girls improved over the past year in PNG?
Well, sadly, I mean, violence against women and girls is still rampant in PNG. And I mean, in this year's report, we say, you know, more than 1.5 million people experience gender-based violence each year. There have been, you know, horrific incidents continue to be reported in the media of domestic violence, but also sorcery-related violence. And there were just two cases in December of last year, a really horrific case where a video circulated on social media of five women rounded up, stripped and tortured following accusations of sorcery in the Southern Highlands. And according to some of the reports, three of the five women were killed. I think one of the positive developments that happened last year was the establishment of this special parliamentary committee to examine measures to prevent violence against women. I think this is a long overdue step, but it is certainly a positive step to have that inquiry in the parliament. And we are now finding that more politicians are speaking up with outrage about the lack of progress in accountability for the perpetrators of this violence.
And given how widespread the problem seems to be, I know that you mentioned there what, you know, that review that the government is doing, but what more can and should they be doing to really, I guess, get ahead of the situation?
Well, I mean, a report came out last year by Miranda Forsyth, which said, you know, more than 98% of cases of sorcery-related violence never even make it to court. So this is really about ensuring that cases are investigated, that the perpetrators are arrested, and that, you know, people are convicted of these crimes. And I think until there are symbolic, emblematic prosecutions and convictions, and these cases are actually publicised in the media, then there will be this impunity for perpetrators, and people will still continue to, you know, have the ability to commit these acts thinking that they will be able to get away with it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, certainly I think there needs to be more pressure on the police. I understand that, you know, in the budget now there is apparently 40 million kina or so for gender-based violence and gender equality in next year's budget. So let's see if that actually, you know, helps address some of the issues of the lack of resourcing of the police, but also the lack of services for victims who experience family violence and sorcery-related violence.
I want to shift now to the issue of refugees and asylum seekers. I know here in Australia, the issue around Novak Djokovic has kind of put more of a spotlight on the refugee asylum seeker situation than, you know, the reality of what is happening. And we know that last year, Australia announced the end of offshore processing in PNG, passing that responsibility of the remaining men to the PNG, to the country. Is there any clarity on what will happen to these asylum seekers and, you know, what their life will be like from now on?
Well, there isn't much clarity, actually. I mean, and I think, you know, these are a group of men who for more than 8 years now have been shunted around from one detention centre to another, you know, moved from Manus Island to now Port Moresby. You know, a lot of these ones who remain have been either rejected from US resettlement or didn't apply for US resettlement for some reasons. As I understand it, you know, some of them may be awaiting possible resettlement to other third countries. But the other options they've been given are, you know, permanent settlement in Papua New Guinea, or they can move to Nauru. And, you know, neither of those options are viable for a lot of the men. I mean, late last year, I spoke to a young man from Afghanistan who was terrified for his family, you know, back home, and, you know, really wants to reunite after this period of more than 8 years. And there's very little clarity around what permanent residency and citizenship will mean for these men who remain.
And what responsibility does Australia have? I mean, they are the ones who brought them to PNG for processing. And some see this decision as them kind of abandoning these people and just kind of leaving them to what will happen. So what is Australia's responsibility?
Well, that's it. I mean, I think Australia is abandoning these men. I mean, I think the Australian government has, you know, an ongoing moral and legal responsibility to ensure that these people have safety. I mean, you know, these people, many of them, you know, were found to be refugees. They can't return to their home countries. And yet Papua New Guinea has not, you know, has been shown over the last 8 years not to be a viable long-term option. I mean, a number of the men have talked about, you know, incidents of violence, you know, not feeling safe to be able to go out and, you know, about in the community. It's very difficult for people from very different backgrounds to, you know, to integrate. So I think the Australian government, you know, really should do the right thing. And for those who want to, you know, resettle to Australia, you know, or New Zealand, I don't know why the Australian government is continuing to refuse to accept that offer of New Zealand to accept, you know, 150 refugees.
You're listening to Elaine Pearson, the Australian Director for Human Rights Watch. We're discussing human rights. Makes sense since you're the director of it. Elaine, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic has put an enormous strain on governments all around the world, and in that, the protections of human rights. What is the biggest concern about COVID-19 in PNG?
Well, I think the biggest concern is that the vaccination rates are very, very low. I mean, less than 4% of the population has been vaccinated, which is, you know, extraordinarily low, obviously, compared to Australia, but also if you compare to other Pacific nations. And so I think, you know, COVID has, you know, part of that is happening, you know, because of the lack of supply, because of the lack of access to remote communities, but also because of fear and misinformation that has been spreading like wildfire about the vaccine. So, you know, a lot of it is about ensuring that people understand what is the purpose of the vaccine and have faith in the health system. But, you know, the other issues, I think, are the limited number of doctors and nurses available, very inadequate testing. I mean, I think the numbers really do not reflect the reality on the ground in terms of the outbreak of the pandemic in PNG.
And so does PNG need to set up, a human rights commission to have some sort of institution to take these human rights issues further and assure that they are being dealt with?
I mean, I think a human rights commission would certainly help. But, you know, a human rights commission is certainly not a panacea either. I mean, in many other countries, you know, it really depends on whether that commission, you know, has capacity, has resources, and is tasked with, you know, really being able to investigate and report on human rights concerns. I think PNG does have, you know, really incredible people in civil society who are working on these issues and who have been demanding these reforms for some time. So I think in many senses, the government knows what needs to be done, That parliamentary committee made 71 recommendations, but what we're waiting to see is really action on those recommendations.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, Elaine, there is so much to discuss in this report. Unfortunately, we don't have the time this morning. If people want to read more about your report, where can they go?
Yes, they can go to our website, www.hrw.org, and just download this year's World Report 2022 and go to the section on PNG.
Excellent. Elaine, thanks so much for your time this morning and for joining Pacific Beat.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was Elaine Pearson, the Australian Director for Human Rights Watch.